This is Reset. 40 is the new happy, a podcast celebrating life's second acts, meeting people who find greater joy in life by creating their own destinies, often in new careers. Such is the case of Amy LaBelle, founder and co-owner of LaBelle Winery in Amherst. There you'll find a state-of-the-art winery, event center, a bistro, and culinary products. A lawyer by training, Amy was bitten by the winemaking bug while on vacation in Nova Scotia. Amy, have you ever wondered how life might have been different had you not taken that vacation and had that blueberry wine 15 years ago?
I do. I think about that sometimes, and I picture myself probably still at Fidelity Investments, where I was working at the time. I was very happy there. You know, it wasn't. It was a good place to be. And had I not found my life's passion, my life's work, I'm sure I'd still be there, climbing the corporate ladder. And trying to do good work there, but this fulfills my soul in a different way.
But you might have gone to another winery at some other point, so I think that it was probably meant to be. It just may have been put off a little longer.
Maybe. I suspect that I would have continued to visit wineries for my entire life. So at some point, I would have been bitten if it wasn't that first time in Nova Scotia.
Right. All right, so you returned home, you bought books about making wine, and became consumed with the topic. Did you know yet that your days as an attorney might be numbered?
I knew immediately. Oh, absolutely. I knew immediately. I was absolutely obsessed with this idea of becoming a winemaker. And you had to be, really. I mean, I was living in downtown Boston at the time. It was an absolutely absurd idea, crazy. I was, you know, deep into a career. I didn't have any training on how to make wine. So I had to be utterly and completely convinced that this was my life's passion in order to embark on the mission to learn all of that, achieve all of that, you know, figure all that out, get through the regulations, and find a wide open space to do it. So yeah, I knew it right away. I was planning my exit strategy immediately, which honestly, and I stayed once I had this big dream to build LaBelle Winery, but I stayed at Fidelity for 12 years after that, and that was while I was building the winery at night and on weekends, and, you know, learning my craft and saving my money and trying to put all the pieces into place in order to make this launch. So I was passionate enough to keep at my day job plus the development of the winery in addition all of those years. So for 12 years, it was the singular goal.
You have lots of interesting fruit wine varieties here at LaBelle, including blueberry wine. And I'm kind of curious, how does it compare with your very first batch in that Boston Brownstone 15 years ago?
Oh, well, it's a great question, and it's very timely because I've just finished fermenting this year's blueberry wine, and it is a completely different product than my first batch. My first batch was kind of drinkable-ish, it wasn't exactly the best wine I ever had, but it gave me hope and promise that I could probably learn how to do this. You know, winemaking is an art that you're for me anyway, that I'm always trying to improve. So every year I try a little something new to make it better. I learn something new. I try a new technique, or I read about what the fancy winemakers are doing in France, and I try to implement their techniques. So this year, I actually implemented a new technique where I fermented the blueberries, just like grape wine. I fermented the blueberries on oak, and it has made such an incredible difference. I cannot wait to get this wine in the bottle to my customers. They're going to just love it. I love it.
All right, so in 2005, you're in the wine business at Allison's Orchards in Walpole, and I noticed that you still buy some of your apples from them. Mm-hmm. You're still senior at this time legal counsel and a VP at Fidelity Investments. So apparently the vision, from what you've told me, was already bouncing around in your head by time you're even climbing the corporate ladder.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, almost immediately when I realized that opening a winery was going to be the plan, I had the plan for the full LaBelle Winery that you now see. So it was in my head. I always joke that it took me 4,083 days to get the winery doors open, because that's exactly the number of days from the dream inception, which really did hit me like a lightning bolt, to the day that we opened here at our brand new state-of-the-art facility. So, but it always, in my head, always included the weddings, you know, the other events, wine dinners, all of the wonderful community events we host here, bringing community together for art talks and literature talks and yoga classes. And, you know, getting that sense of community involvement at the winery is so important to us. And so, you know, the restaurant, the winery, the event center, those were all in the plan from day one. So for a long time, 12 and a quarter years, that plan was bouncing around in my head and developing into a solid idea.
All right, so your husband, Caesar, leaves his job in IT, and by 2012, you leave Fidelity. Your oldest son starts kindergarten, and LaBelle Winery opens its doors. Plus, we're coming out of a recession. So how nerve-wracking was this confluence of events?
Oh my gosh, there was so much going on in my life at that time. You know, I had two brand new babies. I had a new husband. He left his job so that he could support production and sales and begin to add those important sales accounts for us. You know, we're in about 270 stores now, but back in those days, it was just, you know, adding that one customer at a time, one store at a time, you know. It was a big deal when we got to 20 stores, you know. So as we were growing and the recession was hitting hard, the biggest challenge we had was getting financing to grow. And so we were, you know, up to that point, the winery had been completely self-financed, because the winery was profitable and it was growing and self-funding its growth. And I had a day job, so I didn't need the money from the winery to survive. So we could live on my salary and let the winery grow organically. But by the time we were asking for the big amount of money, we asked for $4 million to build the winery. The first four banks said no. It was 2010, and they were looking at me like I had three heads, and they said, we just can't fund a hospitality project this year. We just can't do it. They said, we wish you asked us last year when money was flowing. So four banks said no. So we didn't give up. We asked the fifth bank, and the fifth bank said yes, and here we are. So, you know, that was a very tough time to be wanting to do what we did, but, you know, we made it work, and you can't give up. You know, you're going to get a lot of no's. You're going to get a lot of doors in the face, and that's okay.
All right, so startups are always filled with unexpected challenges, but I'd like to take this perhaps in a more personal vein. You have two boys that you mentioned, and I think they're 7 and 5 at this point.
They had birthdays, so they're 8 and 6 now.
8 and 6, all right. So from what I understand, you make it a priority to keep a balance between Amy, the business owner, and Mom Amy.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my kids are so important, and they deserve the best from me too, you know, just as much as my business does. So, you know, it's hard to keep that balance, but owning my own business actually gives me a lot more flexibility than I would have if I was working at Fidelity still. You know, so here I can scoot out for an hour or two and go volunteer at school or pick one of them up like I am today when school gets out instead of having him ride the bus home. You know, it gives me flexibility. It, of course, because I'm a mom, it means that I take time out of my personal time. So, you know, because I'm leaving early to pick him up at the bus and take him to guitar lessons, or pick him up at school and take him to guitar lessons, that means that tonight after they go to bed, I'll have to work for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And that's okay with me. You know, I make these trade-offs to make it all work, and it gives me a really nice family life. So I have, you know, a good chunk of time with them before they go to sleep, and then I'll do a couple hours of emails. That's fine. I mean, we make it work. Mm-hmm.
So I know that you appreciate fine food, as does your husband, Caesar, and I think your kids probably have adventurous palates as well, but do they ever ask for Kraft mac and cheese?
They've never had it.
Oh.
No, they've never had it. No, my kids are so, I cook a lot at home. I'm a winemaker, you know, so I'm always cooking and experimenting with flavors, and so my children and my husband eat very, very well, and in fact, they're more apt to ask me, you know, if they can sniff the wine that I'm drinking and understand the flavors that are going into it. Or if I'm cooking with wine at home, they know it. You know, they come down the stairs and they say, are you cooking with wine, Mom? You know, they know it. So, no, they eat really well.
All right. 2009 quote from you as you were making plans for your destination winery. You said, we're honestly trying hard to do the all-American dream. So has it been harder, easier, or about what you expected as the lights flicker around us? Hope we didn't lose power.
Has it been harder? No, I expected it to be hard. And I'm okay with that. I come from a family of hard workers, and I'm a hard worker, and my husband's a hard worker. So the work doesn't daunt me. I'll work as hard as I need to make this business successful, whatever that takes. But there are different challenges that I didn't expect. So the problems or the challenges that come aren't things you can really plan for. They come and they kind of surprise you. For example, we now have 80 employees, and I didn't realize how hard it is to manage 80 employees. That didn't even cross my mind. And so, you know, that wasn't something I was prepared for. But now I'm in it, so I'm figuring it out and maybe learning a little more HR technique along the way. So, you know, you just kind of get hit with these challenges that you don't expect, and you work hard through them and you figure it out.
Final question, also a quote that I found from you as you speak to women, and perhaps women who would like to be the next Amy LaBelle, you tell them to save your money. What else can you add to inspire female entrepreneurships?
Yeah, so especially for women, you know, that financial independence is somewhat elusive for women, and I want to empower those people to know that they can do it for themselves. They don't need to wait to get married or marry into money or any of these, you know, kind of common thoughts. Saving your money certainly does empower you. It gives you the option of choices. It gives you the ability to move your life in one direction or another, in any way that you see fit. And in any way that you see is healthy for yourself. So I think financial fitness is right up there for me with physical fitness, in terms of knowing where your money is, putting it to work for you, allowing it to help carry you through to your dreams, just like your physical body has to be healthy to do those things. And so, I talk about this all the time with women. When people ask me for advice, this is one of the first things I say. You know, save your money. It gives you better choices later.
And you lived it. So, I mean, you walk the talk and the whole deal.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't come from a family of tons of money. I keep asking my parents if they have a trust fund for me, but they keep telling me no. So, my family, we had a great, wonderful life, but we're not bajillionaires. So, you know, we had to figure out a way to do it on our own. And certainly I had a wonderful job at Fidelity that allowed me to save and pay off my student loans and do those things. But I also made choices along the way that were, you know, choices for frugality. And those that, you know, that enabled me to spend this extravagant amount of money on a winery.
Amy LaBelle, founder and co-owner of LaBelle Winery in Amherst. Thank you for your time today. Some great inspiring stories and thoughts from you.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it. It was a great pleasure.